There's no.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Mary made.
Good afternoon. I call to order this special board meeting for the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, and the time is 5:30 p.m. Mary, can we have a roll call, please?
We sure can. Mr. Sabadini.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Ms. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mr. Heck.
Here.
And I am also here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting is being live streamed and recorded. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education, another one that may be used during any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge you may be captured on video. Thank you for your understanding and for joining us tonight. As far as public commentary, we will move all public commentary to the end of the meeting after the presentation by Mr. Thompson. If you do want to participate in public commentary, please fill out one of the forms on the table with the red cloth back there and hand it into Mr. Sabadini. Thank you, and I will turn it over to Chairman.
Thank you, President Heck. Very briefly, welcome to everybody this evening. The board looks forward to hearing from you. As I will just briefly recapitulate my remarks from the last time we attempted this and were thwarted by the weather, the board will avoid using the names of any minor pupils. If you, as a parent or pupil, would like to identify yourself, you're more than welcome to do so, but we do that out of respect and out of obligation for compliance with FERPA. So we will not be naming students with anything that you might hear from the board. Secondarily, please be mindful of the fact that any individual employees who are going to have their performance reviewed by the board in a meeting like this are entitled by law to elect to have that done in private. And so while we understand if you're making comment about the program and the business that's operated by the school board, that names may come up of staff from time to time, please do not focus your discussion on the performance of any individual employee, because doing so would trigger their right to request a closed session meeting, and we are here in a public session of the board. So please be mindful of that. Do not expect the board to provide answers back and forth tonight. The board wants to listen, wants to hear and review all the material that you have to provide, and then President Heck may have comments at the end. But if you are wanting answers tonight, you'll probably be disappointed, because we're going to listen to what you have to say, and then there will be the opportunity for some form of response in the future.
Let me also, as I did in the prior meeting, for those who are taking in our meeting tonight, I want to provide a little background into the meeting. An independent investigation was conducted into a formal complaint regarding mishandling of athlete safety, privacy, and communication. The independent investigator has determined that the district is not in violation of Title IX. Specifically, the investigation concluded that the claims against the district were unsubstantiated. Per our board policy 2260, the complainant has a right to appeal to the Board of Education the decision of the superintendent. The purpose of the meeting tonight is for the Board of Education to hear that appeal by the complainant. Thank you.
Floor is yours, Mr. Thompson. And you have your technology set up?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
Stacy, first of all, live stream. Is it running? Excuse me, Mr. Thompson.
Live streaming. As soon as you put it up, I can switch it to the screen.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. It's live.
Commenting on the comments that you made, one of the individuals is a member of the faculty or administration who has been a subject of this investigation, so his name will be brought up.
Understood.
Okay.
We just wanted to clarify that if this became a review of the performance of a specific person, that triggers other legal obligations. So in the context of comments and concerns about the program, it's perfectly understandable. I just wanted to remind everybody, if we spend half an hour just about one person and what they did, that starts to sound like we have to offer him his legal rights at that point. That's all.
Okay. The other, housekeeping measure is that we have several members of the volleyball team, Briley's volleyball team here to support. They're in the audience. And again, I must question the way that President Heck framed the issue here. The issue is not what the independent lawyer, outside hired lawyer and investigators did. The issue is what Superintendent Shaw did when he himself accepted the independent investigator's report, and his acceptance was what determined that the report or the allegations are not substantiated. This issue is not with the independent counsel. This issue is with Superintendent Shaw, who basically either rubber stamped or accepted the independent counsel's report, and it's his determination. Now, he's attempted to somehow separate himself, because when we got the report from the independent counsel, it was him saying, on behalf of Superintendent Shaw, I'm submitting this to you. When the first report came out, it was, on behalf of Superintendent Shaw, I'm submitting this to you. So always Superintendent Shaw attempted to keep his name separate from what is going on, but he is involved. And as a lawyer, I'm concerned that he has an opportunity to speak, and I would invite him. I can't subpoena him in this meeting, but I would invite you, Superintendent Shaw, if you want to come in during our session and take the witness stand, you have that right. We will give you that right. I feel uncomfortable just making these statements about the determination that you made, and that determination is what is at issue here, not the independent counsel. He may give you a recommendation, but you have to accept it. It's your job to accept it on behalf of the school district. So our issue is with you and your determination, not with the independent counsels. Hopefully, this time we will have a full meeting without any kind of interruption. But for the record, I want to introduce myself for those who were not present the last time or who are not watching live stream. My name is Richard Thompson. I'm the president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Law Center, which is based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's a national nonprofit organization established in 1998. We have a very strong mission. It is to preserve America's Judeo-Christian heritage, defend the religious freedom of Christians, restore time-honored family values, and protect the sanctity of human life, and protect the sanctity of human life and promote a strong national defense and a free and sovereign United States of America. That's been our mission for over 25 years. And that's the mission that we always strive to advance as much as we can across the country. We're in federal lawsuits all over the country, and in Michigan as well. Mindful of that mission, I am honored to represent Sean Lechner and his daughter, Briley, before this board. And I'm honored to address this board. As I said last time, boards of education have become almost the battleground for the culture wars that we have been facing. Even though they talk about it in the national arena, the battles, the trenches are being fought in local school boards, boards of education. And for that reason, it's an honor for me to be here to advance the cause that we believe is a just cause. And that's the cause of Briley and her father, Sean. In a sense, I don't think you and I should even be here. This case was decided long ago by the conclusions of the independent counsel. This is what he said on page 11 under the heading of conclusions. He said, and I quote, "The factual allegations in the complaint were largely substantiated." Page 11. "The factual allegations in the complaint were largely substantiated." And there are two other points that I would bring up with that. Number one, on page nine, the investigation revealed that certain district personnel were likely aware that the Skyline team may have a transgender athlete participating. The investigation revealed that this is a part of their own hired lawyers' conclusions, or at least the investigators that were hired by the lawyer who are part of his law firm. At most, the investigation revealed that certain district personnel were likely aware that Skyline team may have a transgender athlete participating. And the third thing on page 9 of that report, for the purposes of Title IX, the athletic director may have had knowledge in advance that a transgender student was a part of the Skyline team. The athletic director may have had knowledge in advance that a transgender student was part of the Skyline team. But then they went on to say, but even assuming that to be true, that knowledge and his failure to act on it did not rise to a level of Title IX violations. That's the attorney's interpretation. But put all those three things together, Mr. Lechner's allegations, and you have those allegations in front of you. He made those allegations in a written document that he presented to the Monroe School District. Those allegations were largely substantiated. And then on the other hand, you have other parts of that report that says other personnel may be involved, may have known about it. And another part of the report says the athletic director may have had knowledge in advance. And we'll go into that later on. So, Sean Lechner and his 15-year-old daughter, and even the volleyball players that have joined in support of Briley, are standing before you seeking your decision as to what was right and what is just. So we're asking at the end of our presentation that this board reverse the determination that Superintendent Shaw made and either uphold the allegations that Sean Lechner made to the board, or at least start a new independent investigation with a new independent fact finder. The facts, the undisputed facts are simple. On September 9,
maybe just Stacy. I apologize. We want
retra- a technical. Yeah,
it's all working. Okay, then we'll proceed.
We have several people connected.
Okay.
I'm testing with another person.
Mm-hmm.
But I have.
No, it's, she's got it now.
There was a question about the live stream. Yeah. It's live.
So. Okay. Okay. They got it
we
now.
We just want to make sure technology is operating appropriately.
Sorry. You're live.
Yeah. Hi. Yep. Okay. I don't know. Has it been going on or? Okay,
it's on.
So
she's
to
got
repeat
it.
Repeat anything.
Yep. No, it's connected.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what we're asking is that this board reverse the decision of Superintendent Shaw, or in the alternative, start a new independent investigation. The undisputed facts are simple. On September 9, 2025, a biological male athlete posing as a female played on Ann Arbor Skyline High School's girls volleyball team in a match against Monroe High School girls team. During the game, no one on Monroe's team was aware that they were playing against a male athlete who was stronger, could jump higher, and could spike the ball harder. Before the game, when Monroe female athletes entered the locker room that day, they expected to be in a private place, a private female space, restricted to biological girls only. That was their expectation. They undressed in front of a boy, not knowing he was a boy. These young girls were not informed that a biological male would be present as they were undressing. Their parents were not informed of that fact. No choice was given to these young girls to decide whether they were willing to undress in front of a male. And assuming, and as I think the evidence will be clear, that there were people on the staff of Monroe High School that were aware that this was going to happen, they took no measures to protect the girls. They could have separated them. They could have told them about it and then let them make the choice whether they wanted to undress in front of a male. But they didn't even have that choice. As you will see later, the investigative report concluded that some Monroe High School officials possessed the information suggesting that this situation would occur, yet they took no action. They did not notify the parents. They should have told the parents at least, so that the parents could make a decision whether they wanted their daughter to play in that game, or at least let their daughter know this is what's going to happen. Do you still want to play? At the beginning of this event, Superintendent Shaw sent an email dated, I can't read it, it's dated, I think, December 8th. Dated December 8th. That's the email he sent. He instructed his staff not to talk to anybody, that if anybody asked them questions, refer it to the administrative office. Then he told them he was going to issue a press release to the media, and this press release he then described, and this is what he said. Monroe Public Schools received a complaint on Friday, December 5, 2025, alleging violations of Title IX, among other allegations. The district has requested a third party to complete the Title IX investigation and provide a recommended determination. The district has chosen to use a third party so that the investigator can be completed in a manner that allows for complete transparency, from the beginning to end. I'm going to read that sentence again. The district had chosen to use a third party so that the investigation can be completed in a manner that allows for a complete transparency from beginning to end. We have not had that transparency yet, despite the fact that we've asked over and over again, give us the entire investigative report. Give us the documents that created this attorney-client privilege that you are using to keep away information that is important for Sean and his daughter and to the public and to you. So far, we have not got it. Right now, I want to show you a short press conference, a short part of the press conference that was held on December 9th in front of the school. It's going to show Briley. It's going to show Briley, and it's going to show Sean. I can tell you, and it'll come out in testimony, that Sean was speaking, and Briley on her own, without any idea from her dad that she had to speak, or with any kind of coaching, she felt the need to say something. And you will hear this young girl speak from the heart, and she will be testifying today. So you can, if you want to ask her questions, go ahead. It's up to you. You are the appellate. You are like the appellate court in the regular court system. You should have all the facts before you make the decision, and then weigh those facts without a conflict of interest. I know you may be friends with the superintendent. He's sitting on the dais with you, next to you, next to the attorney representing you on a day-to-day basis. But yet you were elected by the people to protect their daughters when they handed them over to you. And this is your sworn duty. And it's going to be a tough duty, but I think you're going to be able to handle it. So would you play the press conference, please?
I'm here today because on September 9th, Skyline High School rostered a male athlete on the girls' high school volleyball team, placing female athletes in danger and subjecting them to a loss of privacy, safety, and dignity. My daughter and her teammates were put in a situation that no female athlete should ever be put in. The very people we entrusted with our children failed them. The adults in charge knowingly allowed a male athlete to compete against our girls and allowed him access to the girls' locker room while they were changing, without the girls' consent or any parent. And there's no excuse for this, ever. They failed to protect our daughters, they failed to uphold federal law, and they failed to be honest about what truly occurred before, during, and after. This is purely about accountability, fairness, and justice. This is about privacy, safety, and dignity of any and all female athletes. Schools do not have the right to hide the biological sex of a male student at the expense of any female student or athlete. No male should ever be allowed into a female locker room where girls are changing or using the restroom. No male should ever be rostered on all girls sports. Co-ed, understandable. I'm speaking out today not just for my daughter, but for every family that was betrayed when the adults responsible failed to do their job. This burden must not fall on the shoulders of teenage girls. It is now the responsibility of parents, school officials, and lawmakers to step up and act. I will not stop speaking about this today, tomorrow, or the future until there are safeguards prevented in every school, especially this one here in Monroe High. Thank you.
This was definitely very devastating for all of us girls. I think that, why was it? Well, because this person did disguise themselves to look like a female. So when we found out weeks after that there was another male in the same locker room as us, as we were changing and also playing against us, it caught everyone off guard, and it was very changing because nobody would have expected that. That would have been the last thought, because as I was looking at this person, admiring how amazing they were, admiring how high they could jump, I was kind of getting down to myself, like, I wonder why I'm not capable of that. So it was definitely very, like, changing to see that.
Today we are calling on...
Shortly thereafter, the athletic director made a statement in a podcast, I believe, and that statement was transmitted all over the area. I would like you to hear your athletic director talk about what happened to the Monroe girls volleyball team.
Or this alleged student at Skyline. I just, you know, my heart goes to them, whether they're trans or not. Just having that much negative eyeball on you and rhetoric is, like, incredible, the amount of pressure that you feel as a 16 or 17 or 18-year-old to have to deal with that. It's like, well, I would not wish that on anybody. And just, you know, not having parents and adults realize the impact that it's having on somebody is very frustrating, disheartening, and it makes me feel really sick to think about that.
Yeah. Me too.
And cloaking it as something that, like, you're doing a good thing, as opposed to realizing that, like, you're really, really impacting somebody's life in a negative way, and not just that one person, but any other trans athlete that wants to participate but is choosing not to because they don't have to go through this shit.
That's your athletic director. He has never said anything positive about Monroe High School's volleyball team. All he did was take a part and make this trans female the victim. And no one was trying to make him a victim. They were trying to protect their own daughters. They were not after a transgendered female. And they have that right to do it. But that's your athletic director. And he's still on the job. How do you think these girls feel now? No one supported them. No one. You may know of Riley Gaines. She got attention because of fighting or swimming against a guy. And she commented about this case. She's a national figure. She's been invited to the White House to watch President Trump sign the executive order 14201, keeping men out of women's sports. She's has a podcast of her own on Fox Nation called Gains for Girls, and she's a spokesperson for a national organization called the Independent Women's Forum. This is what she said when she saw Sean's video, and I'll read it to you. It was her comment. Amazing to watch grown men act like calling a boy is the worst atrocity a human is capable of committing, while accusing girls of some sort of phobism when they don't consent to that boy stripping naked in their locker room. This is a national issue, and whether you know it or not, it is being watched by the nation. And what happened after that? What happened after Chet Hessen using, as I understand it, the facilities of the Monroe District Public Schools to do his podcast? The transgendered community mobilized its political forces to support Chet Hesson as the Monroe School District was conducting its investigation into Mr. Hesson. What did Mr. Hesson know, and when did he know it? This is an unprecedented interference with another body handling an employment case. I've never seen that before, and I don't, maybe you've seen that before, but Ann Arbor coming down here and telling, putting pressure on another institution, this is the way you should handle your employment issue. So, well, the Ann Arbor community, political community, gathered their forces. And did you show the petition drive in the newspaper article? That's a petition drive that they had, and there were several people that supported it. Go down further, Orla. Those are the people that supported it. And there was a newspaper article. Just show the title of the newspaper article. Okay, that's a newspaper article. Ann Arbor leaders urge Monroe schools to reinstate officials, official on leave over trans athlete comments. They came down here putting pressure on you, attempting to put pressure on you when you were going through the process, the employment process of deciding whether this person should stay on the job. Well, he was put on administrative leave, paid administrative leave, by the way, and then ultimately, I guess, exonerated. We don't know what went on there. We don't have that kind of information. But how do you feel? How do you think the girls felt? Well, Mr. Hesson and the transgender community is on the wrong side of history, because they don't have science backing them. They don't have the medical medical profession backing them. You know, the Olympics committee just came out on March 26th, I think, and banned transgenders from participating in any women's sport. They said, the president of the IOC, International Organization of Olympics, Olympic Committee. And here's what she said. The policy that we have announced is based on science and has been led by medical experts. At the Olympic Games, even the smallest margins can be the difference between victory and defeat. So it's absolutely clear that it would not be fair for biological males to compete in female category. In addition to some sports, it would simply not be safe. And we have a video of her saying that. Would you play the video, please?
Today, we, the International Olympic Committee, have published a policy on the protection of the female category. I understand that this is a very sensitive topic. As a former athlete, I passionately believe in the rights of all Olympians to take part in fair competition. The policy that we have announced is based on science, and it has been led by medical experts with the best interests of athletes at its heart. The scientific evidence is very clear. Male chromosomes give performance advantages in sports that rely on strength, power, or endurance. At the Olympic Games, even the smallest margins can be the difference between victory and defeat. So it's absolutely clear that it would not be fair for biological males to compete in the female category. In addition, in some sports, it would simply not be safe.
Thanks, Warren. Other than Sean Lechner and his daughter, not one parent publicly spoke out on behalf of these young girls. And I guess there was a reason for it, because all at once they got subjected to hate mail, and they saw what would happen to you if you stood up for something. And I would like to show you some of the hate mail. You're not going to see a lot of them. And the reason for that is Sean tried to protect his family and would try to delete the hate mail before they saw it. In fact, just a anecdote, the last time we were here, after the meeting had closed, Sean was walking with Briley out of the building, and for the first time she realized that her father was deleting those hate mail. She was not aware of all of the nasty things that were being said about him and their family. So I don't know if you can see that. Okay. Nothing says Merry Christmas like bullying kids. And then give us another one. What does that say? Can you get it closer? And then they try to affect his job. They said stuff about, you know, he works for Varsity Ford. Then the next one. And then what does that say? This is Sean and his Nazi family. Please pray they have the day they deserve. Sean is obsessed. And see more. And so they show the whole picture in a Christmas scene. And the next one, please. And this one really is threatening. It's not just hate mail. What's his address? Got some beer bottles and rag combos. Need to dispose of, like, just gotta remember to bring my lighter. What he's referring to is a Molotov cocktail. And that's used a lot of times to intimidate not only people that are opposed to you in ideology, but a lot of blacks have faced that as well, Molotov cocktails. And this is what this father has been going through and what his mother and what his family has been going through because he stood up and said, I don't want my daughter to be involved in this kind of stuff. The Title IX policy of Monroe Public School Districts found on its website is as follows, unless it has been changed, but I've been looking at it, it has not been changed. And I don't know if you're even aware of it. It says this, and I'm quoting, the Board of Education of Monroe Public Schools, hereinafter referred to as the board, in quotes, or the district, in quotes, does not discriminate based on sex. And then parentheses, including sexual orientation or gender identity. In its education programs or activities, it is required by Title IX of the Education Amendments Act of 1972 and its implementing regulations not to discriminate in such a manner. That policy is in direct violation of the executive orders of President Trump, one defending women from gender ideology, which is Executive Order 14168 and Executive Order 14201 entitled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports. Under the general gender policy, it is a policy of the United States to recognize two sexes, male and female. These sexes are not changeable and are grounded in fundamental and incontrovertible reality. Under my direction, the executive branch will enforce all sex-protected laws to promote this reality. And the following definitions shall govern all executive interpretation of the application of federal law and administrative policy. Sex shall refer to an individual's immutable biological classification as either male or female. Sex is not a synonym for and does not include the concept of gender identity. That's a President of the United States executive order interpreting Title IX, and it has not been overturned. There are a couple of cases going on. They've been put in hold because of the case that might come down, or cases that might come down in the next couple of weeks. But it is still the law of the land. It was the law of the land when Sean Lechner was making his allegations. Okay. Then we have the following. The federal funds shall not promote gender identity. If you're using any federal funds and you're promoting gender identity, your funds are suspect or in danger. Superintendent Shaw made no mention of Executive Order 14201 entitled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports, directly on point, directly in support of what Sean Lechner was saying in his allegations. And that says, and it says this, Section 1, Policy and Purpose. In recent years, many educational institutions and athletic associations have allowed men to compete in women's sports. This is demeaning, unfair, and dangerous to women and girls, and denies women and girls the equal opportunity to participate and excel in competitive sports. After all, Title IX was made to enhance women's sports, not to have a door for men who want to pretend to be a woman to compete with them. Because if that's going to be the case, it's going to be ultimately the end of women's sports. That was not the purpose of the statutes that were passed. It goes on. This is still talking about the Executive Order 14201. Therefore, it is the policy of the United States to rescind all funds from educational programs that deprive women and girls of fair athletic opportunities, which result in the endangerment, humiliation, and silencing of women and girls, and deprives them of privacy. It shall also be the policy of the United States to oppose male competitive participation in women's sports more broadly as a matter of safety, fairness, dignity, and truth. And then it goes on. He asks that the different administrative agencies take all appropriate action to affirmatively protect all female athletic opportunities and all female locker rooms. That's in his executive order. That should have ended this whole debate. The executive order says you don't interfere with the female locker rooms. It would have ended. Why did this continue on? Why did Charlotte Lechner have to put up with all of this for months and months and months? And it goes on. And this is, again, a part of the president's executive order. He asks his administration, prioritize Title IX enforcement actions against educational institutions, including athletic associations composed of or governed by such institutions that deny female students an equal opportunity to participate in sports and athletic events by requiring them in the women's category to compete with or against or to appear unclothed before men. Dignity. You know, before we used to, I used to be a prosecutor. We prosecuted people for peeping tops. Now you can't do that because this guy comes into the locker room and says, I think I'm a girl. And then he goes around and watches women undress. It's happening. It's happening in YMCA buildings. It's happening all over. We're getting complaints all the time. We have so many complaints, we can't handle them all. Now, one of the things I want to bring to your attention as well, during this process, we filed a Freedom of Information Act request. One of the Freedom of Information Act requests was this. This was request number 9. All documents, records, emails, correspondence, or other writings pertaining to athletic director Chet Hessen, being aware that Monroe High School female volleyball team was facing a transgender female, in parentheses, biological male, on Ann Arbor's team on September 9, 2025, and October 25, 2025. You know what their response was? Denied, for the reason that it does not describe a public record sufficiently to enable the district to find that public record. I don't know what they, I mean, if you just read plain English, you can see what we're looking for, but they denied it. You know who I have to appeal that denial? Chet Hessen, excuse me, Superintendent Shaw. That's who I have to appeal that denial. A second FOI request. All documents, records, procedures, emails, correspondence, or other writings relating to the hiring of the firm of O'Reilly Rensilio and their associate Donald P. Denault Jr. as a special independent investigator for Monroe Public Schools to investigate the formal Title IX complaint involving athletic director Chet Hessen in Ann Arbor Skyline High School, submitted by Sean Lechner. You know what their response was? Denied in part and granted in part. The district has previously provided you a copy of the retention letter provided to the district by Mr. Denault and has enclosed another copy of the same for your convenience. The district asserts that the attorney-client privilege regarding any and all other correspondence in any form that may exist between the district and Mr. Denault, which privilege encompasses disclosure of the existence of same, is denied. I have that letter. Too many documents here, too much to prove. I'll have to skip over that. But I will point to the partial engagement letter, which specifically disavows any attorney-client privilege. Do you have that up? Zooming in on that. I'll read the highlighted portion. Your general counsel will remain Jeremy Chisholm, and we fully expect he will continue to provide you with legal advice and guidance, parentheses, which will not be our role during the process to ensure the integrity of our investigation. Mr. Denault himself disavowed that there was an attorney-client privilege in that engagement letter, and to make sure that apparently that he wanted to make an independent investigation out of it. But you can't use this engagement letter as a sword and a shield. You can't say on the one hand, this is the stuff that we got, but we can't show it to you, but we can show that it was a part of our decision-making process. And then when we try to find out what is it, they say, well, we can't show it to you. So that's the sword and the shoe. They use the engagement letter to say that, you know, there was no violation. And then when we want to look at the engagement letter to find out other aspects of it, because we know that there was communications going back and forth. We know that there were conversations going as to what his specific responsibilities were, but you are not giving us that information. You cannot hide that. You cannot be selective on that. The Sixth Circuit says you cannot say, on the one hand, we're going to turn over a little bit of it, but you're not going to see all of it. The Sixth Circuit Court has come out on that very strongly. So you cannot reject a part of it and allow a part of it. Once you give us any part of it, which you did when you submitted that engagement, part of the engagement letter, you can't then just not say, well, I'm not going to give you the rest. I want to see the rest. The people have a right to see the rest. The people have a right to see what kind of instructions did you give that lawyer. It was not just, I'm going to do an independent investigation. Even if you look at some of the language he uses, he says that that's not what I was supposed to do. I won't go into the fact that at one point we got a 2-page letter which said that, they found that the complaint was unsubstantiated. That 2-page letter basically contained a lot of conclusions, not evidence, and they gave us 5 days to object to it. And we objected to it in 5 days. What we didn't know, that they already had the 12-page document that their expert, their outside attorney had given them. But they hid that for almost a month. What is going on? We've asked for the investigative report time and time again. I want to go to the preponderance of the evidence. At some point in the document, independent counsel, the hired attorney, says we have to decide this by a preponderance of the evidence. But he never describes for you what the preponderance of the evidence means. If you've been a juror in a civil trial, you will have probably gotten an instruction on what the preponderance of the evidence means. We say, number one, the final determination that was based on the preponderance of the evidence standard that held Sean's allegations unsubstantiated is wrong. We disagree with that comment. To establish a preponderance of the evidence means to prove that something is more likely so than not so. And one of the ways you do that, if you're talking to a jury, is you start off with Lady Justice holding the scale evenly balanced. And then you watch the lawyers and the facts, and you determine whether the balance has slightly turned one way or the other. If the balance has turned in favor of Sean, if all the evidence that shows that Sean had good facts, good arguments, he has succeeded in proving his case beyond the preponderance of the evidence. The preponderance of the evidence is the lowest standard that we have in law to prove a point. And I think he has done that. And what is on that scale? The fact that they found that there was, all of his allegations were substantiated, that Chet Hessen was probably involved and knew about it, that there was at least some other member that knew about it. At this point, I would like to call Sean to the witness stand. Sean, you filed a complaint against the Mount Monroe High School public schools, right?
Correct.
Okay. And that was a five-page document. The members of the Board of Education have a copy of that.
They do.
I want to go back, and I want to just have a narrative with you.
It's on the board.
Okay. Now, were you watching the game on September 9th?
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, your daughter was playing?
That's correct.
Okay. When did you first have an inkling that there was a male on the Skylines team?
It was about 5 minutes before game time. We had a mutual friend, college volleyball coach, approached me and said, did you hear about the transgender athlete on Skyline's team? Which I knew nothing about it. He said there was some media the last 2 or 3 days that were posting blog statements, which I never saw. So we sat back and watched the game. It was within probably 5 to 10 minutes, you could clearly see what we thought was the male athlete. The jumps, the spikes, I mean, the movement was, it was night and day. Again, I couldn't confirm, but it was definitely apparent.
Okay, let's go back. How long have you been a resident of Monroe?
My whole life, 47 years.
Okay, how long did you go through the public school system?
I did.
Okay, what about your children?
They both, my daughters should be a junior this year, Monroe Public Schools, and my son graduated.
Okay. And how old is your daughter currently?
She's 16.
Okay. And she participated on the volleyball team?
That's correct.
Okay. How long has she been involved in sports?
Probably since she was five. She loves it. Every sport, volleyball, soccer, softball, basketball. She lives it. She loves it. She breathes it.
Okay. Did she play for the schools?
Yes. Every year.
Okay. When did she start playing organized sports for the schools?
It'll be eighth grade, seventh grade.
Okay. Had she regularly used the girls' locker room before this incident?
Yes. I can only assume, but yes.
On that day of the press conference that you had, December 9th, were you aware that your daughter was going to take the microphone?
No, I had no idea. She was sitting behind us, and one of the reporters asked a question, pointed her out, and she stepped up and took the mic and took charge.
Okay. Have you talked to your daughter about this on occasion?
Yes.
And what has been her reaction?
About the situation here that we're in right now? Yeah. I think she's nervous. She's disappointed. She doesn't know who she can look up to, who she can ask questions to. It's new to all of us, right? We've never had an issue like this with the family, friends. It's when you take someone's privacy away.
Well, then let's go through this. Now, you find out, when you find out that there was a male playing on the volleyball team, what did you do after that?
Once I got the phone call the night after the game, the following day, I sent an email to Chet Hessen asking if he was aware of the situation, because there was a lot of rumors, alleged media, that we haven't seen, I haven't seen at that point. And my concern was his acknowledgement, if he knew prior, and what he was doing to protect our girls.
What was his response?
His first response was, it's a touchy subject. Unfortunately, due to the FERPA, I can't disclose whether there was a male or there was not a male. Didn't react in, hey, we're here for the girls, we want to support the girls, if there's any questions. It was just basically, it's a privacy issue. I even if I knew, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Did there come a time when there was a meeting with Chet Hessen and parents and the girls?
Yes.
When did that happen?
I want to say it was a week to maybe 10 days prior to their next match. They sent a text on the game app that said, hey, parents, student athletes, we have a meeting. There were some questions that were raised, and we had it in the lecture room at Monroe High School. When we got there, it was a handful of girls, maybe seven or eight, possibly, maybe four different sets of parents. Again, it came through an app. It wasn't formal. It wasn't an email. It wasn't professional by any means. And it was basically a rundown of, you had a piece of paper, said this is the Elliot Larson Act, 1 through whatever, 10, 12. This is what it means. This is what it is. Any questions? And that was it. And I raised my hand. I said, did you have prior knowledge of my daughter and her teammates being exposed to a male athlete? Did you know? He said, no, even if I did, I couldn't tell you. That's due to privacy. Elliot Larson Act. This was focused on Elliot Larson Act now. And several parents asked questions. One parent said, what if they want to take a knee and not play? And Chet said, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a good look. And he stated that there could be some, those exact words, there could be some backlash, whether it be MHSAA or Monroe High School. So it set the precedence of my daughter and her teammates that if they took a knee and didn't play, there's going to be repercussions. And there, another parent asked, what if something were to happen to their child and any male athlete for that matter, hit the ball, spike the ball, and it caused damage to their daughter? Chet chuckled and goes, that's legal counsel. You have to reach out to your legal counsel. And the father said, we're asking you. He said, it's just like co-ed. Which it's not. Co-ed, we all know we're playing against females. This is strictly focused on varsity female versus female. He had zero compassion, zero passion, empathy for our girls during the 35-minute conversation. It was almost like he was pushed by somebody to state, here, read these two pages that describes the Elliot Larson Act. He didn't want to be there. And I asked him point blank, what can you do to ensure the safety of our girls the next game and the next game? Again, condescending, he said, I can't do anything. I'm at the locker room with the bathroom police. His exact words. Meanwhile, our minors, they now know that there was a male watching her change. There was prior knowledge of that, and not one of you, not one faculty member, or you, Mr. Shaw, did anything to stop that, did anything to ensure safety for my daughter or her teammates. That's what I thought our jobs were to do, protect our kids. And that, from day one, it failed miserably and continued.
You made, obviously they have the allegations that you made against the Monroe Public Schools. Would you care to look at some of them and indicate to me why you made those allegations? What was this? What was the basis of that?
Sure.
Okay. One of the things you said in your allegations of B on the second page, September 9, 2025, game one at Monroe High, Ann Arbor Skyline played Monroe High School and won. Both schools failed to ensure fair competition, provide a safe environment, and equal opportunity to participate in sex-separated athletic programs. What was the basis for that statement?
Regarding both schools, they had prior knowledge, so not one faculty member made an attempt to protect or ensure the safety of Bradley or her teammates, whether it be the locker room, which again is against Title IX. They, by that alone, is a violation of Title IX. And to allow a male athlete, which Skyline, their whole staff, including their AD, coach, players, they knew what they had. They knew what they agreed upon or was forced upon. So they allowed a male athlete in a female locker room, their private space, their sacred space, and they allowed a male to compete against them on the court.
One of the comments you make in that allegations, in those allegations, is my daughter was forced to share a locker room where females undress with a male athlete. How was she forced?
By not knowing. I mean, her rights were stripped. They were taken away. They gave zero information to my daughter or any of her teammates. Not one of those girls had an opportunity to say, I want to play against this male, or I want to change against this with this male in the locker room. Their rights were taken away.
You indicate that in the next page. You indicate that following the first game, Hessen claimed in writing that he did not have any prior knowledge at the athlete's sex or gender. Then you say this was false. This was false, as confirmed by a staff member of the athletic community at Monroe High, who came forward and provided information to Tom Heck. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Well, in your allegation, you say when a parent raised the risk of injury, he, meaning Hessen, laughed and suggested seeking legal counsel, comparing the situation to a co-ed game. You already mentioned that, and that's accurate.
That's accurate as well.
Okay. Then you say evidence confirming prior knowledge. The head coach had been notified by Hessen the day before the September 9th match that Skyline had a transgender athlete on the roster. Who was that head coach?
That was the varsity female athlete, or the female's volleyball head coach.
So there was someone on Monroe's staff.
Monroe High School's volleyball coach.
Yeah.
Was given information days before that this was Skyline was coming to play and there was issues. And then he reiterated to keep it between them and do not tell anyone. This is a coach. This is a young coach who's being forced and pushed to keep quiet. We could have protected. We wouldn't even be here today if the right thing was done. Instead of pushing whatever agenda we pushed, focused on the girls. Safety, excel in education, that's it. It's that easy. But we looked the other way and pushed. I've never seen the team share a locker room with a female or a male. And not one, now we know there's an issue, so why would we even push that even harder? Why push that narrative and allow my daughter and her teammates to be involved in this? They don't want to be here today. Not one of them do. But they're here because they're standing up for their rights, because no one else will. They put politics in front of prayer, politics in front of education, and it's ridiculous. My 16-year-old daughter will tell you that. She looked at me and said, "Dad, why did they do this? How come nobody said anything?"
Has anyone associated with Monroe Public Schools District ever defended the team?
No, publicly, not one.
Some have come forward privately.
Correct. They're afraid. They're afraid they'll get fired. They've been silenced. They'll lose their job, their coaching job.
But what about people who aren't coaches, parents who aren't coaches that don't have to worry about losing a job from Monroe?
I think they're in, well, I know a dozen that are in fear of the hate mail, the text messages. What you saw today was nothing. I deleted over 100. I had an FBI agent drive by my house twice a week. My wife never knew that. Because the narrative was so twisted, because we weren't transparent, and we didn't speak the truth. But we allowed an AD to continue to go on his social media, not once, but twice, after he even emailed the full faculty and said, "Do not comment, do not speak about this." But you gave him a golden parachute, which opened the door to hate, evil. This was never about this poor kid, this transgender. This was about us, the public, the faculty members, allowing this and hiding this, and not giving my daughter or her teammates the same privacy that they deserve.
How, you know, I know you're getting emotional.
I'm sorry.
But that's fine. Well, I think most fathers would, and most mothers would as well. What has that done to you emotionally?
At first it was, I was upset. I was afraid of even saying anything. Actually, I didn't say anything. The first time I reached out to OutKick, they published a story. I reached out to them and asked them how they got the information. This is before we even were 100% confirmed, to find out what was going on. I wanted to know more. I wanted to know facts. And then it turned to, once we had zero help from the AD, we had zero transparency or accountability from the district, the ones who were supposed to be in charge. So I thought I would take it upon myself and be a father first. And I reached out to the news. I reached out to my wife and my family. We had discussions on what we wanted to do. They didn't want to do anything. My wife was afraid. Rightfully so. These parents are afraid that they're going to get the same, if not more, hate, lies. They're creating these messages and the text messages and the emails that they've... if I share all these with you, we'd be here for hours, and it's disgusting. It's because the narrative was this. This man picked on this young trans athlete, and that's it. And we allowed it on social media two times in Monroe High School's office, in his own very own office when he was home for whatever reason. We allowed it. And that created a narrative where I'm the bad guy. So I took my hate and my cautious and my me being nervous, and I turned it into something different. It was push for my daughter's privacy and her teammates. Push for the right thing to happen. And these parents need not to be afraid. When we had kids, when you give birth, when my wife gave birth, our job is to protect our kids. That's the best thing God could give you. So why piss it away? Respectfully speaking, why? That's our job. That's our duty. This isn't hate. The only thing that's hate about this whole process is what Chet created and what we allowed Chet to do on his own time in Monroe High School. But for some reason, after all the information you shared, they deemed it important to reinstate him. Then you get to look at my daughter and her teammates and tell them why. There should be no reason. Zero. This, sorry if I'm talking, you mentioned transparency. I've seen zero, nothing.
Is there a message you want to give to the board?
Yes.
Let me just say that I've sat on Sean. I didn't want him to make any public statements for a long time because of the stuff that was going on. I said, you'll get your chance. And this is his chance to talk to you directly, not through a newspaper article, but talk to you as a person who's been a lifelong resident of Monroe, who's gone through Monroe High School. His kids have gone through the Monroe schools. And they're a part of Monroe's environment. And so tell them what you want them to do, what you feel that they should do.
First, I want you to know my daughter doesn't have a hateful bone in her body. She loves everybody. All she wants to do is play the games she loves, get a great education, and be happy. That's it. She does not want to be here today, but you made her come today because we did nothing. Information was supposed to be passed on to myself and counsel during this investigation. It wasn't. As he mentioned, everything that was supposed to happen did not. I find it very hard to believe that one can make a decision on someone's reinstatement when the attorney stated you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what Sean Lechner stated is more true than not. And yes, we have faculty members that probably had knowledge of this. Like, this is black and white. This is not, you sit down, you take 120 days for a decision. The fact that the board couldn't even make a decision on this, that it wasn't their job, that they were leapfrogged. It comes down to one person, the superintendent. So I beg and I ask you all to review this, whether it be a third-party investigation, a different investigation group, or the same, and do the right thing. Look at the facts. Yes, Title IX was violated. Yes, my daughter's rights were stripped away from her and her teammates. And not only in the Title IX complaint and in the response, I don't know if it was McNault, Mr. Shaw, but stated in the bottom paragraph, we didn't violate any, and there was no violation of Title IX. All of our policies are up to par. Well, why would you change a policy that was never broke? And that policy is moving forward, we're not going to share locker rooms with visiting teams. If the policy wasn't broke, why fix it? More importantly, that policy should read, we will never allow male athletes or males in my daughter or female locker rooms, ever. If you want to make a change for the better, be transparent. Don't hide it and say we're not going to allow visiting teams or share locker rooms, because all you're doing is opening the door to Pandora's box. So I'm asking you and begging you, as a father, as you all would as a father or a mother, do the right thing. These girls deserve privacy. They deserve a fair chance to advance in any sport without being worried about getting hit in the head or playing against a guy who can jump 8 inches taller or walking into a locker room that's their safe haven and wondering now, like my daughter has to do and all her teammates, I wonder if this person is X or Y because my school won't support us. No girl should have to worry about that. So I'm asking you to investigate internally or third party and if it's a third party or it's the same investigator, just look at the facts and make a decision. We need to reverse the decision because based off the facts, Mr. Chet Heston should not have been reinstated. The attorney even stated that. So that's all I want to, I beg you for.
Thanks. Thanks, Sean. We'll bring you up, Riley.
Thank you.
Hi, Riley.
Hi.
You a little nervous?
A little bit.
Is it true that on that day where there was a press conference, your dad spoke and then you grabbed the mic?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
Well, one of the ladies in the audience asked me a question, and I figured that the answer would best come through a person that actually went through it and actually was the one that experienced all of this.
Okay. What grade? You just finished school. So what grade will you be in the fall?
I'm going into my junior year.
In your junior year. What kind of grade point average do you have?
Right now, 4.2.
And then how many sports have you played in the, your last year? This last year?
This past year, I was in school-wise volleyball and soccer. Those are the two sports I contributed to.
When you walked into the girls' locker room on September 9th, 2025, did you expect to see a boy there?
No.
Okay. When you found out later on, well, how long did it take before you realized, before rumors became fact, that there was a boy in that, your locker room? How did you feel about that?
It was a day or two after our game. Things were said and rumors were sent around, and I didn't know whether or not to believe that. And then when a week or two after, there was an actual conference addressing it and talked about it, I was kind of blown away by the fact that I was not informed. My teammates were not informed. Nobody on the team was informed that this is something that is going to be happening and that there is going to be a male in the locker room. You're going to be competing against a male. Nobody was informed, and that definitely made me feel very uncomfortable and confused why that's something that we would even have to question.
Okay. Has it affected the way you do things now? Let's say go into bathrooms or go into other sports arenas, go into other locker rooms. How does it affect you?
I would say it affects me 100%. Now there's always that thought in the back of my mind, is there going to be a male in the locker room? Is there going to be a male in the restroom? Or am I competing against a male? Of course, I don't want to have to assume that, and I don't want to have to point out people and think that might be a male, but now it is something that has, it's like forced to pop up into my head from what I am experiencing.
Okay. What do you think about your dad standing up for you?
I am beyond grateful for him. I cannot thank God enough for for my dad. I know that this is something very hard for not only us girls to go through, but also him as a dad, and I'm sure plenty other fathers, and the fact that he is the one that could stand up and speak out for us is amazing, and I'm just so blessed and thankful for him.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian. That's all. I just want to reiterate for the board, it was a hard time for us to find the duties of an athletic director, but we found it. And one of the duties is that as a athletic director, they must develop and maintain a program which emphasizes safety, healthy life choices, and welfare of the participants. I think Chet Hessen failed in that. Another one responsibility is the athletic director is responsible for the supervision and administration of all home contests or arrange a contact person for the contest for appropriate supervision. And of course, I think he failed in that as well based upon what occurred on September 9th. I know that there is a very few minutes left. I think this is an opportunity for the board to stand up for the daughters of Monroe, for the daughters of Monroe High School. There's a lot more, of course, legal stuff I can say, but I think what Sean did and what Briley said today says it all. I think I want to close with these comments. There we go. It's clear that the factual allegations in Sean's complaint to the city, to the Monroe School District, have been substantiated. That's what the report said. But I want to touch on another subject and another closing. Oh, I'm sorry.
We're closer to the mic.
I'm getting the microphone. That's a problem. So we're almost, the time is almost up. I want to quote from a very religious martyr, a Lutheran pastor, a martyr, died in a Nazi prison. And although these quotes were from a different perspective, it was about religion, he said this: silence in the face of evil is evil itself. But he was talking about religion. But more important to the subject matter that we're discussing with you today is that not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So if you remain silent, you're sending a message. If you don't take steps to correct what's going on, you're sending a message. So it doesn't matter what you believe or what you claim to believe about men playing in women's sports. If you are unwilling to stand up and speak out about that belief, what you say in private about how much you deplore young girls being cajoled to undress in front of males is the easy part. What you publicly do about it reveals who you really are. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Thank you, Mr. Lechner. Ms. Leskner. President.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson, Sean, for your presentation, your discussions. I guess is my authority as board president. I am requesting that Mr. Chisholm present the board with a legal opinion for the presentation of the complainants. Appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Is he going to do that now?
No.
Oh,
no.
I wouldn't be able.
No.
I think I'm a pretty good lawyer, but I'm not that good. I need a little time to digest.
I'll help you out. No. But I wonder is what are the steps from here on? Okay. When will the decision be made? Will it be made in public? Will the vote be in public?
Any decision by law has to be made in public. So, Mr. Chisholm will work on a legal opinion, present it to the board next week, and then we will have a discussion on that.
Will that discussion be in public?
The discussion will be in closed session for attorney-client privilege, but any decision we make will be in public.
Well, so the public will not know how the voters voted. I mean, how the members voted?
No, they will. Oh, the vote has to be in public. Yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when we have a vote, there will be probably discussion as well.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your courtesies. Thank you.
Thank you again for coming
in.
Next is public commentary. If not, I guess I'll give everybody one last chance if somebody else wants to use their 3 minutes of public commentary. Okay. Hearing none, then next is the adjournment of the board meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Do I have support?
Support.
Show of hands. Okay, thank you. Monroe Public Schools Board of Education Special Board meeting for Tuesday, June 16th, 2026 is adjourned. And the time is 7 p.m. Thank you, everybody, for attending tonight.